G'day, you are listening to the Sirens of Audio, the podcast where canon is a pointy thing that goes bang. My name is Dwayne, and joining me is Mark Cockrum from Nerdology. Hi, Mark.
Hello. Hi, how are you doing?
You're trying to do a slight Aussie accent there.
Yeah, I'm trying my best, mate.
You know, we could call this episode The Two Exeters, because my local town up the road there is Exeter.
Really freaked me out the other day. You posted something, you said you're in Exeter. I'm like, what? That's insane.
Yep. I just want to know which is the blonde curly one and which is the old grey-haired one.
Well, you know, I guess ours is older than yours, so I guess it's just, you know, you've got the curly blonde-haired one.
Oh, well, yours is cooler, obviously. All right, so thanks for coming on. We're going to talk
pleasure.
A bit about an audio play that you chose. Tell us a bit about you first. Tell us a bit about Mark Cockrum, the human palindrome, the guy with behind Nerdology. Tell us about your podcast too, what all that's about.
Okay.
Go for it.
So I've been doing it for about 8 years, on and off. I also used to do a podcast with a few friends called the Blue Box Podcast, which is now morphed into the Strangers in Space podcast, so that's still going. I've always had my own little offshoot. We tend to cover pop culture, so it could be movies, books, TV shows, pretty much anything goes. And because a lot of my friends tend to be in the Doctor Who podcasting community, it tends to be treated a bit like an escape for them, really. So they get to come and talk about stuff other than Doctor Who, so it's quite nice. It's like a therapy for them almost.
So how does it work? What kind of topics do you cover?
We've done everything from I, Claudius. Have you seen that? The old 70s BBC show?
I have, only in the last 12 months, and I loved every second of it.
That's phenomenal. Yeah, so we covered that. One of my friends, Ben, came up with the idea of, we were both about to have kids at roughly the same time, and he just had all these questions about how to raise a better nerd. So there were us two noobs and a couple of other friends who are experienced in the whole parenting game. We got them to come along, and they talked about their experiences of having to try to introduce their kids to pop culture and that kind of stuff, and that was great fun. So it's quite varied, but you know, we mix it up a bit. It's got a bit Doctor Who centric of late, so we're starting to move away from that a little bit now. So, check out Nerdology UK. We're on all the usual platforms, and hopefully you'll find something interesting to listen to.
So you don't go on Strangers in Space too often anymore?
I had a bit of a self-imposed sort of time away from podcasting. We had some sort of family health issues, so I had to kind of drop out for a couple of years. And I think JR, who's the main guy behind that show, he had a little bit of a disagreement with the guys at Starburst magazine who used to do the Blue Box podcast. So he decided to cut his ties with them and just go alone. And they've had a pretty solid team there now. So it's him and Simon and Lee and Matt. And they all get together and they sort of explore their kind of stuff. So I've been on, I did a brief appearance just over Christmas, because they have a strand on that show called Desert Planet Picks, which is a little bit of a play on desert island discs. So you get to choose things like what music you'd take, a classic Who, a new Who, those sorts of things. So that's kind of fun. So I've made an appearance, but I think they've got me on reserve. If they get really desperate, they might have me back.
Okay, so recently on Nerdology you did a feature on The West Wing as well. Which was one that grabbed me, because I've never seen The West Wing, and I've still only seen about the first 10 episodes of it, but I found that episode very, very interesting. So did you have some fun doing that one?
Oh yeah, it was great fun. We had Matt, who's kind of my replacement on Strangers in Space, and an old friend of the show, Ian Martin, who's been on numerous Doctor Who podcasts over the years. I tend to try and pick my guests. I have a pretty good batch of people I can go back to, and they usually have something interesting to say. So I usually just kind of sit back and let them get on with it and sort of chip in occasionally. So yeah, that was great fun. It's a show I hadn't come back to for a while, but I invested in the box set. It's not the cheapest of things to get into. I think it's over in the UK, I think it's about 75 quid for the full set on DVD. But it is fantastic TV. I think Ian at the time in our episode about it said it was, you know, the beginning of that kind of binge-worthy TV series that seems to be the big thing now on Netflix and all the other streaming services. It was the first of those really big shows that you really wanted to get through. So yeah, that's a great fun episode.
Yeah, we've actually got it here in Australia now on a streaming service called Stan. I don't know if it's on any
Ah,
streaming
okay.
services or anywhere else, but yeah, so fortunately I was able to see it that way. So
Oh, that's
I'm
good.
enjoying getting through that, so that's good. What's your history with audio drama and Big Finish? This is, after all, an audio podcast.
I've dabbled. I feel like I'm a bit of a noob compared to yourself. How long have I been listening to Big Finish? It must be going back a bit. I remember the first of the webcasts coming out, which was Death Comes to Time. Was that the one?
Yeah,
I think that was
that
Big
was a
Finish, wasn't
BBC
it?
one though. That
Yeah,
wasn't
but I
Big
think they were
Finish.
involved. Yeah, I think they were involved in it. I think they were. Well, anyhow, so there was that, and yeah, I kind of did all the usual sort of releases that most people tend to recommend. So I started with Spare Parts and Jubilee, and The Chimes of Midnight, obviously, which you've just recently covered. So the one thing I do find with Big Finish, which is amazing. But there's just so much of it. It's massive and it's only gotten bigger and bigger as the years have gone on. So it's a hell of an investment. And it's, you have to, I find I just kind of try and pick and choose based on recommendations from friends and that kind of thing. But the one we're going to talk about today is one that I came across and I just loved it. I adored it from the moment I heard it. It's got a lot of the things that tick my particular boxes for Doctor Who. So, yeah, no, I love Big Finish. I think they do sterling work, and I think they did a great job while the show was off the TV in just keeping the flame alive. So yeah, kudos to them.
I was actually a little bit worried when the TV series came back because I really enjoyed the audios. I thought, oh, what are they going to do now?
Yeah.
But fortunately, they kept going, and they have kept going for so long. And yeah, it's interesting in interviews and some extras that you hear on different CDs. They are trying to not flood us all with all the different box sets and variants and spin-offs that we can have. They're trying to slow that down a little bit so that we're not too overwhelmed, because I dread the thought of someone new coming in. Where do you start? Where do
Yeah,
you
well, that's the
start?
thing. Well, that's why you need a great podcast like this one.
Interestingly, Death Comes to Time. It was definitely BBC, that one, but the ones you might be thinking of are Real Time and
Ah, maybe that
Sharda.
was the
They did
one.
a version of Sharda, which was
Ah,
also webcast as well. Real Time and Sharda were both webcast. But interestingly, Death Comes to Time was written by Nev Fountain, so which has a connection with the CD that you want to cover today.
That's right, yeah.
So tell us about that. Why did you choose that one?
Okay, so it's The Kingmaker. This is from, I think it's 2006. So it's running alongside the new series now. So we've had a year of the new series being back. And I think what drew me to it was, I mean, I really like Peter Davison to begin with. So that's, you know, a plus point. And the TARDIS crew, I didn't really know too much about Eremem, who's the other companion, but obviously Perry is a fan favourite. And I think they work so well together. This was my first experience of that team up, so I thought I'd investigate a few more of their stories. But I think they work really nicely, and I think Nev Fountain has this brilliant humour about him, and it's very. I'm a huge fan of Douglas Adams, and I think it really falls into that sort of category. So if you like Douglas Adams, you'll love this.
Well, let's. On that note, let's chuck in a little trailer right here.
Right. It's about 1:15. I'm heading for a little tavern on Fleet Street called The Kingmaker to do a little detective work. Someone once told me it can be a useful place to find out all sorts of stuff. You can't miss it, just head for St. Paul's Cathedral. The old Norman one, not the one with the dome. That's not there yet. I'll meet you there in 3 hours' time, and don't be late.
Greetings, Earl Rivers. I greet you in the name of the new king.
And greetings to you, Lords Gloucester and Buckingham. Well, what can I say? This is a most lovely surprise.
Good evening, sir. I am Susan, and I will be your serving wench for this evening. Would you like to sit in carousing or non-carousing?
Ha ha! Less of the Mr. Clary, Doctor. They'll start to think me a gentleman. Don't stand on ceremony, Doctor. Folks call me One-Armed Clary, don't they, boys?
Perry? Is it a custom of this age for a man to place a hand on your bottom as a form of greeting?
Not really, no.
Aramem! Did you just break that guy's arm? Yes.
For your information, sir, this is my travelling machine, my magic cabinet that takes me to places beyond your imagination.
So you're a demon, are you?
That depends. Do they burn individuals that show sign of devilry in this century?
Yes.
Well, in that case, I am a wise and benevolent sorcerer.
He's some kind of robot. His arms are soft. He seems real from this end. Oh, my God, this bit's detachable. He's not real.
Sure you're all right?
We're fine! We've got to get out of here. There's something nasty and alien happening here. We have to find the doctor.
Well, he did come out of this thing, sire, the like of which I have never seen before. And they do say that unusual portents crop up at the time of a coronation.
Who says?
Well, they do. The ones who do say. You know, they who do say.
Well, as long as we're being specific. You think I'm capable of killing a couple of kids? Murdering them in cold blood? Snuffing out a couple of young lives before they'd even begun?
Do you know what this means, Perry? It means we're not going to change history. We are history. We're part of it. It's not possible. I think we have solved the mystery. It's us, Perry. It is we who kill the princes in the tower.
Sometimes, Aramem, your ability to point out the flaws in my otherwise perfect plans errs on the irritating.
Doctor Who, you have transgressed your deadline. Your contract has been violated.
Now, that's just what I thought you'd say.
So, when I was a kid and a serious, serious Doctor Who fan, I couldn't cope with anyone laughing at it. I couldn't cope with any comedy aspects. I thought it was all serious. I was a little bit embarrassed by season 17. Now season 17 is probably one of my favourite eras of Tom Baker.
Good man is the correct answer.
but the Kingmaker is just comedy from start to finish.
But they throw in some really serious stuff as well, don't
there
they?
There is.
The whole thing of Richard III being visited by all these time travelers from the point where he's just like a little kid, and they're kind of really screwing him up because they're asking him if he's going to kill his nephews, and it's just there's some real dark moments there as well,
which is interesting because I was talking about another comedy on last time's episode when I was talking about Doctor Who and the Pirates, which was also that also had lots of comedic elements all the way through it. But it had some really dark issues as well. Even suicide was dealt with in there. So, similar here with The Kingmaker. But what kind of stands out about this audio to you?
Well, for starters, you have to remember this was at a time when Tom Baker didn't really want anything to do with Big Finish. They'd been courting him for a while, and he hadn't really said he wanted to do it. I don't know how spoilery you want to get with the conversation. Do you want
let's put a spoilers note right here. So anyone that wants to switch off now can switch off and listen to it.
Okay, you've been warned. So Tom Baker hadn't quite come on board yet with Big Finish. So if you can't get Tom Baker, who's the next best person you can get? Now, obviously, Neb Fountain with his connections with
Dead Ringers?
The TV show he did, Dead Ringers, yeah. So he gets John Coulshaw, or somebody gets John Coulshaw in to do a couple of parts, And one of those is voicing the Fourth Doctor. And I think it's such a really cute way of bringing him in as well. So you've got a couple of little bits of fan service there. The whole thing with the Doctor Who books, where were you aware of these as a kid?
Yes.
Doctor Who discovers.
I was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was just such a neat little thing, and the little throwaway line about, oh, that doesn't sound like you. Oh, well, you never sound like yourself when you're recorded on tape. I thought that was just such a neat little line. So that was, yeah, that appealed to me because I'm a huge Tom fan, and that, you know, at that point we weren't going to get Tom Baker on Big Finish. So that was cool. And I also liked the way that they played with the main protagonist who the Doctor comes up against in terms of the person who's trying to rewrite history.
Mr. Satan.
I thought they played that. Mr. Satan, yeah. I thought they played that really well because they set you up and they feed you all these little tidbits that make you think it's going one way and then that gets turned around.
We won't spoil Mr. Satan because that's a really, really good reveal, that one. But it's interesting on the credits how it's spelt S-E-Y-T-O-N.
Yeah, so, I noticed that.
So you don't kind of know it. But when they say it, it's like, oh, hello.
Yeah, yeah.
This is definitely, how can I say this without spoiling it? No, stuff it, I'm going to spoil it anyway. But he comes in and it wants you to believe that it's the Master.
Yeah.
Which sounds, and all the way, like I was listening to this again yesterday, I hadn't looked at the cast list yet, and I could have sworn that this actor, Michael Fenton Stevens, was the same actor who played Packard in The Invasion. Sounded just like him. Mm-hmm. And I was a little bit disappointed when it wasn't him. But yeah, that's
He's the guy in Mr. Bean who he's having the competition with Mr. Bean in the restaurant about eating the seafood, and then he realizes that the seafood is off and Mr. Bean has already guzzled, you know, several tons of it, and then he starts feeling queasy. Yeah, that's him.
Awesome. So with I think the date on the CD is 2005, so it would have been released probably towards the end of that year, and the new series had just come out. What were your thoughts on Stephen Beckett's portrayal of Richard of Gloucester?
Well, the voice sounds very familiar.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
I would totally agree.
The first time I listened to it, I thought, no, surely it can't be. So I had to go and look at the cast list because I seriously thought it was Christopher Eccleston. Again, I think, do you think they did that on purpose?
Oh, I think they did.
It has to be, surely.
With all the other comedic elements throughout it, that couldn't have been a coincidence. Couldn't have been.
Yeah.
And what better kind of voice to have? Like, for me as an Australian, I don't know what the accents sound like to you as an Englishman, but
yeah,
that dry kind of humour all the way through, that accent fits it perfectly. And Big Finish has been a lot into recasting over the last few years, so if they ever wanted to recast... Well, I've got Jacob Dubman now, I suppose, to do all those voices, but Stephen Beckett could have been a good alternative.
To go back to coining that phrase, he really is a dead ringer. He sounds so much like him.
Yeah.
Scarily so.
I'm just looking in the cover here.
I looked at the photos inside the sleeve, and I don't know if someone took them with their camera phone. They look a bit sort of, you know...
A bit amateur?
Well, you know, it's still fairly early days, I suppose. I mean, you're used to how polished everything is these days. Yeah, there's a picture of him there. There's not really a huge resemblance facially.
He's got some teeth, hasn't he? Put a curly wig on, he could almost do Tom Baker.
And they've got Arthur Smith in there as well, who's fairly well known. I don't know how big he is in Australia, but he's relatively... big sort of comedy name over here in the UK. So he did a lot of stand-up and he'd done a few sitcoms and stuff over here, so he was relatively well-known as well.
Yeah, so I don't know Arthur Smith. What else is he involved with that I might know?
I think, in my experience, a lot of his stuff tended to be those kind of satirical quiz shows where it's kind of like Have I Got News For You and those sorts of programs. You'd see him on those quite a lot in the sort of 90s and early 2000s. You don't hear so much of him. Well, I certainly don't anyway, on the UK TV. So, but yeah, I think he was quite well known as a stand-up as well.
Anything else you wanted to say about The Kingmaker?
I think the humour is really great. I think the cliffhangers are fantastic. We are really spoiling the hell out of it. So I feel really bad because I'm going to ruin everyone's enjoyment of it. They won't like it as much as I do. But the one where Perry and Eremem, kind of, it dawns on them that it's them that have to kill the princes. That's really good. And I just think it's perfection all the way through. I can listen to it over and over, and I still get enjoyment from it. There aren't too many like that, but I think Peter Davison, I think, is great, and the cast is superb, and I think it's kind of like if Douglas Adams had hung around for a couple more years and had done some Peter Davison stories. So it's my kind of Doctor Who. It's got the humour, it's got the serious bits. It's quite timey-wimey as well. I don't know, because my experience with Big Finish, I don't know how out of step that is from the rest of the stuff that's out there, but I think they play around with time a bit, so that makes it a little bit more interesting.
In terms of canon, are you talking about?
Yeah, well, no. It's continuity? More so much, the way it works within the story. So the whole thing where they land in 1485, a doctor steps out, and then the TARDIS makes the landing noise again. So when Perry and Eremem step out, they don't realise, but they're 2 years ahead of him. So you got that sort of cliche, but timey-wimey, that whole thing going on of, you know, they should have been meeting at the pub, and they're running a bit late. Or if anything, they're a bit early, like 2 years early. Just little touches like that. It's just, I think it's in keeping with all the things I love about Classic Who, but it's starting to explore the way that New Who works as well. So it's a nice kind of marriage of the two, I think.
I like the way all the characters seem quite okay with Eremem going around breaking people's arms.
Yeah.
No matter what. It's like, yeah. Oh, well, I deserve that, so I'll just cop that. No problem.
Well, you know, this I think it was quite ahead of its time, really, because this is way before the Me Too movement. So, you know, you go around feeling up women's bums, then that's what's going to happen to you.
You're going to cop a broken arm.
You really are.
There you go. All right. So if you had any other Big Finish audios that you were kind of torn between, what would they be?
I think the first series of Dark Eyes is great fun. I think that's I think it gave the Paul McGann stories a real shot in the arm. I think he was great in the early stages of them bringing back Doctor Who on audio. And they tried various things, and the Lucy Miller stuff went down really well. But it just gave another side to that Doctor again, which I really enjoyed. So I like those. I think we had this conversation on your Facebook feed not that long ago. And I really don't think you can go too far wrong with Spare Parts, to be honest. It's a really solid story. That's another Davison one. I think those are my kind of picks. If this isn't your kind of thing, and certainly Spare Parts is about as far away from light-hearted comedy historical romps as you can get.
It's always the one that people go back to, isn't it? Spare Parts.
Mm.
And along with Chimes of Midnight, which I think you just listened to recently,
yeah.
Didn't you?
Yeah, that's a great story.
But speaking of Nev Fountain, who wrote The Kingmaker, I'm not sure if he wrote too many other Big Finish ones, but I know he wrote Omega. There was a trio of of three Big Finish audios that dealt with baddies. So the first one was Omega, second one was Davros, the third one was Master. So have you heard all
Master's
those?
Master's a very good one. Yeah. I've heard Master, and I've heard Davros. I don't think I've heard Omega.
Well, you must hear it, because it's you can. It's on Spotify for free, so you can.
Oh, right, okay.
And it is, if you like Neff Fountains, he's very timey-wimey in that too, but it is a serious story.
Yeah.
Or is there a comedy in there? Could be. I'm pretty sure it was serious. I'd have to go back and have a listen. It's been so long. I just remember that trio of stories just blew me away when it first came out.
Yeah, Master's a great story. Yeah, it really is. I can't remember who wrote that now.
Joe Lidster.
Yes. Yeah, that's a real knockout story. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great atmosphere. Very creepy.
And Davros was always my favourite of those three. Although it's hard to it's hard to sort of compare Master and Davros because they're both so good. But I love Colin Baker and Terry Malloy together. Without Daleks.
Yeah, they really bounce off each other. Yeah.
Brilliant. That one also had Wendy Padbury and Bernard Horsfall. So a couple of other legendary Doctor Who voices in there, which was really cool.
I tell you one I haven't listened to for ages. Just thinking of the spookier ones. It was Night Thoughts. Have you heard that one?
Oh, yeah. If everyone says, what's your scariest Big Finish? I always say Night Thoughts. That's the scariest.
Mm. Yeah, I haven't listened to that for a while, so I might have to dig that one out. But I remember it really freaking me out, especially I tend to wear headphones when I listen to Big Finish. It tends to really amp it up. There's a lot more atmosphere when you listen through headphones, I find.
Yeah, you can hear a lot more too. Especially when, have you found that you wear headphones a lot more now that you have kids?
no, to be fair, it's more about sort of not annoying the wife, really. Because, you know, she likes Doctor Who and she loves David Tennant for very obvious reasons. But yeah, I'm not sure she's quite so enamored of audio Doctor Who. So out of just, you know, being a nice guy, I tend to wear headphones rather than inflicting it on the rest of the family.
I've got to say I'm the same. I can't. I bet my wife, I wish she liked David Tennant, but she doesn't even like him.
Oh, man.
That's sad, isn't it?
Oh, well, you know.
Well, she likes Broadchurch, so that's something.
Well, maybe it's just through osmosis she'll eventually like it, because there's loads of Doctor Who people in that.
No, I can tell you right now. Not going to happen. Not going to happen.
Oh, well.
I'm too obsessed. So I think that turns her off.
She must be very tolerant.
I think she probably is. Ah, very good. All right, well, thanks for coming on to talk about The Kingmaker. It's been fantastic to go through that again. I thoroughly enjoyed listening to it again.
It's a great story.
One of my last outdoor jobs before the winter, because I have some work related to tourism, which is all shut down now for the winter. So it's usually quiet anyway, but now with everything that's going on, it's...
Yeah,
I'm going to have to do a lot more listening at home as opposed to while I'm at work.
What a drag.
Oh, terrible, terrible. There are some benefits to being stuck at home.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for asking me on. It's been a real pleasure and I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. So is there anything that you've been watching recently or listening to that you want to recommend that's totally unrelated?
Well, you guys have had it for a while, but we in the UK have only just got our first taste of Disney Plus. So, our son is 6, so I'm trying to introduce him to some of the stuff that I liked when I was a kid. So I've not quite got him into DuckTales yet, but you know, that's a work in progress. He loves gummy bears, so we've been watching that. And I'm so far behind on the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I haven't seen the second Avengers film yet. So I'm planning on a major watch when I get some spare time of just all of those movies to try and get up to speed. So I think I'm possibly the last person in the world to see Age of Ultron. So that's taking up most of my time at the moment when I get free time.
Second last, Mark, because I haven't seen it.
Ah, well, there you go. You're in good company.
There's so many other things out there that that I kind of like more than Marvel. It's kind of... there's only so much time that I've got, so it kind of goes on the back burner for me. But have you seen The Mandalorian?
Yes. Phenomenal. Yeah.
That was good. That was kind of...
very old school.
Yeah, it was kind of more enjoyable than the movies, in a way.
Maybe I'm in the minority, but I've really enjoyed the last three Star Wars movies. I felt the last one, they tried to cram a hell of a lot of story into one movie. And it did feel a little bit like the Emperor coming back was just kind of, you know, rammed in at the start of the film. It was like, oh, okay, where did that come from? But that's my only real gripe. I found them really enjoyable, just great popcorn movies that you can sit down and watch. But yeah, Mandalorian, I think, because I'm of a certain age, very much goes back to that sort of the feel that you get from the original movie and Empire Strikes Back. I think, you know, it's really, it feels like that universe, and there's still humor in there, but yeah, I really enjoyed it. And for, I know Disney have megabucks, but you don't kind of expect quite so much spectacle from a TV show, but I found that really, you know, it's very filmic, very enjoyable. I think there was maybe one episode that I didn't rate that highly, but the rest were fantastic. Yeah. So, yeah, really, really enjoyed that.
Can I admit something to you?
Go on.
Live here on recording. I've not seen the last Star Wars movie.
Okay.
Haven't seen it yet. I didn't know the Emperor came back.
Well,
thanks for that.
I felt like that. Well, it's okay.
No, I'm just joking.
Sorry for spoiling. Well, they did have his laugh in the trailer, so I kind of figured that most people would know.
Oh, I've heard most of the spoiler stuff anyway. But unfortunately, on the night that I was supposed to go and see it with some friends, I fell ill. So I never got back to seeing it. So waiting for it to come out on Disney.
It'll
on
come
Disney.
Around, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I was going to say, have you got anything you're really into at the moment?
Well, I will mention something that's dropped, and it's very, very popular in Australia on Netflix. TV morning shows have been talking about it and recommending it. It's a documentary on Netflix called Tiger King.
I've seen people talking about it, but I don't really know much about it.
And it is one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen, but you just can't stop watching it. It's a seven-part. The episodes are only 40, 45 minutes, so it only goes for about less than 5 hours,
okay.
Or around 5 hours, the whole thing. And I watched it yesterday. I just couldn't stop. It's about a guy who runs a big cat zoo in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
So we've even got images of tornadoes in there, like it's a Wizard of Oz type thing.
Okay.
Who has this big feud with another woman who owns a big cat rescue center in Florida. And ultimately he ends up going to jail for putting a hit on her because the feud got so bad. But it just goes in detail, and because there's a lot of footage, because there was a guy that came on years ago to do a reality style TV show about this guy. There's so much footage, and it goes into all their lives, all their sort of semi and fully criminal dealings, and basically shows that there's no sides here in this particular documentary. They're all just nuts. They're all crazy. Mm-hmm. At the end of it, you're just shaking your head going, they're all just lunatics. But one thing I didn't realize is that there's more tigers in captivity in the United States than there are in the wild. Did you know that?
Ah, wow. That's quite sad, really, isn't
it? It's very sad. So if only they could do something properly with the industry over there, they might be able to conserve them. But
you're saying about how you had to binge it all the way through. That I had a similar experience. I'm sure everyone's watched it by now, but Making a Murderer on Netflix.
Yep.
My goodness. Particularly when it got to because I'd watched the first series, so when the second series dropped, I found myself staying up to like 3 a.m. to watch every episode because I wanted to know what happened next. It was really incredible TV. You can argue over, you know, the rights and wrongs of the, you know, what happens in it. But it's in terms of addicted telly, I think they've really got a niche there, haven't they, with a lot of their documentaries.
They do a really good job, and it's really binge-worthy, a lot of their doco stuff. What was the other one that I saw on Netflix? There's one called The Staircase, which I really enjoyed.
Yeah, that was really good, yeah.
There's a couple of others there too, which I can't think of off the top of my head. But yeah, I really get stuck on those, I'm afraid, in my old age. Mm-hmm. I should be watching Avengers movies.
Well, there you go.
That's what I should be doing. But yeah, that's what I've been looking at recently. So Tiger King, Netflix. Give it a watch.
I'll check it out.
Thanks to Mark Cockrum once again for joining me on the Sirens of Audio. Boy, did we diverge off the subject of audio there quite dramatically towards the end of that episode. But I hope you enjoyed what we provided for you in this episode. We mentioned The Mandalorian in there, and I wanted to tie that in with a musical piece to take us out with, because if you have been reading the show notes, you would see that the music I use for the opening and closing titles on Sirens of Audio is done by a chappie called Husky by the Geek. You can find him on YouTube. I chose that music because I like rock. I like rock. Audio rocks. And so does my kind of music. So it's been great to use Husky by the Geek's music in all the podcasts. But he did do a rock version of the Mandalorian theme music. Now, that is certainly some theme music that is a bit of an earworm. So I'm going to close out the show this week by playing the entire piece by Husky by the Geek, his version of The Mandalorian. Catch you next time on the Sirens of Audio, folks.